have here a bulletin from London. The German Transocean News Agency now says the Allied offensive area has been extended to the entire Norman Peninsula. And the British radio says that 3 hours after troops first hit the French coast, bulldozers were hard at work on the job of preparing a landing strip for our plane. The London staff of NBC's invasion reporters have been standing by since the first official flash was transmitted from General Eisenhower's headquarters at 3:32 this morning. Some of the men have been out with the assault unit, so we're now going to switch you to NBC in London for another broadcast from the focal point.
While we are waiting for London to come in, I should like to comment for a moment on the development of this beach strip that the bulletin has just spoken of. The Normandy Peninsula has a large, flat area which extends down to the coast, and evidently our plans contemplated using that flat strip on the coast. In other words, we're doing something rather unusual. Instead of relying on airfields farther inland, we are now relying on an airfield that we are going to construct directly on the landing strip which we have taken on the Normandy shoreline. The fact that we brought in bulldozers, that they are now at work, indicates that.
We take you now to London.
This is London at 8:45 p.m. In a moment, we hope to establish contact with the American radio reporter, Merrill Muller, covering General Eisenhower's headquarters, somewhere in England. Go ahead, Merrill Muller.
This is Robert Barr speaking from Advanced Allied Command Post on the 6th of June. This is dispatch.
This is London again. There's been a slight delay in getting the broadcast set out. One moment, please.
By Duncan.
It is evident, then, from all recent dispatches, that we now have much more than a beachhead, because at one point our troops have extended their holdings to a width of more than 15 miles at one point, and we have that on the authority of the Germans themselves. Their latest estimate as to the size of our most important beachhead on the Normandy coast is 16.5 miles in width, and the extension to a depth of several miles. That means, of course, that we can construct an airstrip right there on the beach, an airstrip that will be of great importance in the further development of our offensive operations. That would explain also the occupation of some of the Channel Islands, Guernsey and Jersey. Those islands are just off the coast of Normandy, and any effort to operate from Normandy would necessitate our eliminating the Germans who have been holding these Channel Islands. And so now, if you will look at your map, you'll see how this whole invasion picture ties up into a logical operation whose first objective is to secure complete control of the Normandy Peninsula. That peninsula is 80 miles from Britain, and yet, for our purpose of invasion, it has many obvious advantages. And, of course, it had the particular advantage that the Germans were not expecting us to attack at that particular point. It's something like 120 miles from Paris. Once we hold it securely, and we can establish ourselves there more effectively in a short time because it is a peninsula. That means that we have access to it from three sides, from the sea. The Germans have access to it only across a narrow strip of land. And so even with inferior forces, if we succeed in gaining time, we would be ready to meet the German assault, which will undoubtedly develop against that peninsula. Obviously, what is happening now is that the Germans, having decided what our plan of campaign is, on the basis of the events which they themselves have reported for us during the last 12 hours, obviously they are now concentrating their forces for the counterattack. We must expect that that will be a heavy attack. It is the first German major effort to answer the invasion. Their preliminary efforts, their preparations against invasion, have largely failed. The passage of the sea across that 80 miles from the South British coast to Normandy was accomplished with much greater ease than we had expected. Our losses were far lower than we had anticipated. The bombings of our air forces and the superior bombardment developed by those tremendous naval guns ranging from 4-inch to 16-inch on a great host of warships which have been assailing the French coast now for the last 16 hours, that too was more effective than we had expected it to be. And as a result, when our invasion forces came in, they found that the defenses were much less effective than we had expected them to be. Obviously, this invasion effort which we are making is far larger than anything in history. These landings have taken place with extreme accuracy, as Mr. Churchill put it to the House of Commons. They have taken place with very little loss. Risk, of course, was involved. We did not want to take the greater risk that was involved in the bad weather which we had yesterday. And so the whole operation was postponed for 24 hours. And the obvious result, as is evidenced by what has happened today, was a decided reduction in the risk. Our airborne troops, therefore, are now well established. And we are following up. Because remember that only the first invasion waves have landed. We are now following up with other waves. We will continue to follow up with one wave after another. For obviously, this short distance of sea can be traversed in a very short time by all our craft, by our landing craft to go back for new loads, by our warships to get fresh supplies. And so, one wave of invasion will follow another. Now, it's also very possible that our plan contemplates at least two or three major invasions at as many different points. It is even possible that this Normandy invasion is a minor one compared with those that will follow. Remember what Mr. Churchill said some months ago when he said that there would be rehearsals and false landings. There would be attempts to deceive the enemy. We don't know which is going to be our major drive. And this is also possible, that we have two or three places in mind, any one of which could serve as a point of major attack. And we will permit developments to dictate whether or not this Normandy attack, or the one at the mouth of the Seine, at Havre, which is also being developed at this time, that should be the one on which we base our major drive. Obviously, if we can get control of so fine a port as Le Havre, which is undoubtedly the finest on that part of the French coast, we would be foolish not to use it to its full capacity. Yes, some of its installations will be destroyed, but we learned at Naples how quickly, with our modern facilities, a harbor that seems completely unusable can be restored to use. And with all the experience that we have had in Africa and Italy to back us up, surely we are prepared to deal with whatever situation we may find in almost any French port. And so, we are just coming now to the beginning of the invasion story. Let us remember that. This is only an initial move. It does not yet reveal the whole picture of our tactics. We are underway definitely in Normandy. We are underway definitely in the area of Havre. The fighting is going on heavily for the city of Caen, which is the most important railroad center of the Normandy Peninsula. It is already evident that our troops have penetrated from 10 to 15 miles, and it is quite possible that by this time junctions have been effected between those troops that debarked from the landing barges and those that were flown anywhere from 10 to 15 miles inland to cooperate in the invasion. The completeness of the surprise which we succeeded in effecting is evidenced by the fact that the Germans were unable to destroy a number of important bridges, bridges which had a key position in connection with the invasion. We had marked them on our maps. We had landed paratroopers with a specific function of controlling those bridges, and word has come back from the French continent that they were successful, that these bridges are in our control. And that means that all these tanks which have landed, these tanks, some of which have already been in battle, are now going to be able to utilize those bridges in order to reach the key points connected with invasion. You have a picture of 250 miles of French coast, landings certainly at two important points, a beachhead expanded in one case to 16.5 miles, landings possibly at anywhere from 7 to 9 to 12 other points, landings that are even now being developed. And within the next few hours, as the bulletins come in, you will see that the invasion operation, as we have reported it to you thus far, has only begun.
We take you now to London for Merrill Muller.
Somewhere in England.
NBC in New York calling London.
Contact Merrill Muller at General Eisenhower's headquarters somewhere in England. So this terminates the broadcast in London. Standby network, please.
Once again, here's H.V. Kaltenborn.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't get Merrill Muller's broadcast, but such is Invasion Day with its peripatetic maneuvers. I wish that you, who are out there, could be in here with us in the newsroom and see the remarkable calisthenics, verbal and physical, and also physiological, that have been going on between the engineering department and this particular booth in which I find myself. You see, we have channels open to London. We are so eager not to miss any of Merrill Muller's broadcast for you that we are constantly monitoring the channel. And the purpose of that is that the instant that we know that he is coming through, that I can stop my verbal peregrinations and that you can be transferred to the real front line to get the first-hand reports. So I hope that you listeners will bear with us in our efforts to do the best we can under circumstances that, as you can well understand, are sometimes a little difficult. Let me summarize in these next 2 minutes just about what the situation is. Beachheads firmly established at least 2 points. Greater success than we had anticipated in the original landing operations. Losses thus far remarkably light. Our preliminary bombardment very definitely successful in eliminating German air power, in eliminating German artillery power along the coast. Here is a bulletin from Naples. Premier Marshal Pietro Badoglio dissolved his Italian government today and was charged by Crown Prince Umberto with forming a new government to include political leaders in liberated Rome. The purpose, as you see, to broaden the Italian government to include those prominent men who have been isolated from the Italian political situation through being in Rome itself, a further step in the democratization of Italy. We are because of the capture of Rome, developing a new situation in Italy itself. And even as we succeed in Italy, our landings are succeeding on the coast of France.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kaltenborn. Ladies and gentlemen, we're still attempting to contact Merrill Miller in his position with General Eisenhower's headquarters. So if you stay tuned to your present NBC station, as soon as we can, we'll bring it to you. This is the National Broadcasting Company.